Welcome to AI to AI, that is Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence, a podcast series exploring the significance of appreciative inquiry, talent management, ethics and governance in the AI era, coaching-driven habit formation, creativity and adaptability. In today's fast-paced, technology-driven world, organizations must evolve quickly to remain competitive. While many focus on fixing problems, appreciative inquiry shifts the approach to identifying strengths and building on what already works. Combined with real-time strategic change, this enables organizations to make swift, collective decisions while engaging all levels, resulting in lasting transformation. I had the opportunity to work as the corporate quality head for three Tata companies during their turnaround journeys. Each transformation was unique, but two critical pillars stood out: employee engagement and process excellence. I rigorously trained myself in total productive maintenance and Six Sigma, applying these techniques in factories. The disciplined implementation of JIPM TPM at Tata Metalics and WCS TPM with Six Sigma at Rallis India Limited played a key role in their transformation by reducing losses, improving plant effectiveness, and enhancing customer satisfaction. I also want to highlight the Tata Business Excellence Model, a Tata-specific version of the Malcolm Waldie's National Quality Award Framework, which is used for organizational diagnosis across Tata companies. As a certified senior assessor, I conducted diagnostics of 7 Tata companies using this model. At Nelco, where I joined as corporate quality head, I started with a dipstick diagnosis using the TBM framework. This helped the leadership team assess their performance in the areas such as products, customer satisfaction, financials, people involvement and engagement, and operations, and identify areas for improvement in process conceptualization and execution. Today, I am joined by Sanjeev Lal, a visionary industry leader who is highly passionate about operational excellence.
The business excellence model really is energizing the organizations within the group to really accelerate their excellence journeys. And being a large conglomerate, there is a lot of internal learning which is also happening. And also being part of a global network, there is a lot that is getting imbibed by various organizations within the group. So it is, I would say, really been very, very transformational in the way the model has been adapted, adopted, and leveraged by organizations for really leading to a kind of situation where they try and achieve leadership in the industry segments.
Sanjeev is the former Managing Director and CEO of Rallis India Limited. We'll dive into the relevance and importance of organizational diagnosis and process excellence in manufacturing companies. Sanjeev is a B.Tech in Chemical Engineering from IIT Delhi, 1983 batch, and he has participated in executive development programs, including the Management Development Program at IMD Switzerland in 2000 and the Tata Strategic Leadership Programs in 2007. Sanjeev brings a wealth of experience from his time as the Chief Operating Officer of Tata Chemicals India Chemical Business before taking the helm at Rallis. Since joining Tata Chemicals in 2004, he has held several key leadership roles, overseeing manufacturing operations at 2 major units, managing the agri retail business, and spearheading organizational transformation and business excellence initiatives. He also led the information technology function and was appointed joint managing director of Tata Chemicals joint venture in Morocco. Prior to his tenure at Tata Chemicals, Sanjeev spent 21 years with Hindustan Unilever, where he worked in various roles across manufacturing and the specialty chemical sector. In today's episode, I'll be gaining his insights on the significance of process excellence in today's technology-driven business landscape. Now, on to this insightful conversation with Sanjeev. Hello, Mr. Sanjeev Lal. Welcome to my podcast series, AI to AI, or Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence. You know, the name behind this topic is basically the way I have seen over years how the focus has shifted from people to more and more technology. And well, all for good reason. That's why I thought that, you know, I should kind of, you know, gain your perspective. You are the managing director of Rallis India Limited, a Tata company. And prior to that, you were chief operating officer of Tata Chemicals, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, just to correct, I completed my tenure at Rallis in March. So I'm the former director. Yeah.
Great. So first of all, I extend my heartfelt thanks for joining me on this episode. Tell me, Tata Group of companies, they use Tata Business Excellence model, which is Malcolm Baldy's model of US. So how does this model keep Tata companies updated regarding the changing process excellence needs with the advancing technologies?
So Sanjay, as you had mentioned, that the business excellence model, Tata Business Excellence model, is modeled around the Malcolm Baldrige criteria. And, it looks at various aspects of operational and business excellence, starting from leadership, strategy, customer excellence, process excellence, and also, more importantly, how data and analytics is really used. And as part of the way the assessment is done, it looks at what is the approach to these various aspects of strategy, leadership, customer excellence, people excellence, as well as it looks at how well it has been deployed, what has been the learning that is coming out of it, what is it that is being done to make sure that across the enterprise, similar kind of processes are running. Now, as part of this process, there's a lot to do with things like benchmarking and learning from other organizations in terms of what has worked for them and how it can be adopted within your organization. And here again, it looks for areas of how you are improving, what is your continuous improvement process, how your customer processes are improving, how your employee processes are improving. And, over time, what has happened is elements like safety have also come into the way organizations are being looked at. Safety, sustainability, diversity, these are the kind of things that have over a period of time got added to the way organizations are being looked at. And more recently, even digital, in terms of how organizations are using technology, digitalization, digital for enhancing the outcomes that they're looking for. So whether it is customer outcomes or whether it is employee outcomes. So the business excellence model really is energizing the organizations within the group to really accelerate their excellence journeys. And being a large conglomerate, there is a lot of internal learning which is also happening. And also being part of a global network, there is a lot that is getting imbibed by various organizations within the group. So it is, I would say, really been very, very transformational in the way the model has been adapted, and leveraged by organizations for really leading to a kind of situation where they try and achieve leadership in their industry segments. So there are a number of great examples which are there to look at in terms of how leadership position is being taken by some of the businesses within the group.
Great, sir. See, let me tell you, when you are narrating about, the Tata Business Excellence model and how this model is being implemented, it was like music to my ear, because I was actually corporate quality head of Rallis India Limited between 2003 to 2008. And so I sort of, I was spearheading this TBM movement in Rallis India Limited. And I was also responsible for implementation of TPM and Six Sigma in the then five factories. So my question is that how do you see the continued relevance of traditional process excellence approaches like TQM or TPM and Lean in today's manufacturing landscape?
So actually, if we take a step back, if you look at the way the Indian industrial sector is organized, a fairly large part of the GDP which is coming from the industrial activity is actually coming from the small and medium enterprises, which is also one of the largest employers in the industrial segment, right? Mm. So while you've got very large organizations, but a lot of the GDP, almost I think 30% of the GDP is getting generated by the medium and small enterprises. And therefore, while the larger organizations do what they do very well and excel, the India growth story is actually going to be coming from that very large bottom of the pyramid of manufacturing, which is micro, small and medium enterprises.
Yeah.
And therefore, for them to be competitive, for them to be having quality excellence, for them to be creating platforms for them to grow to become larger organizations, it is important for looking at some of these processes that have served some of the large organizations like Toyota and others, including Indian companies. Tata Steel is an example, where these processes have really helped to get them to a global leadership position. And therefore, the relevance of these processes, whether it is TQM, TPM, quality circles, these still remain relevant because the number of people who are working in this segment is fairly large. And getting the culture of an organization in place means getting everyone within the organization to be aligned with what the organization is trying to achieve. And what better way than to use some of these tried and tested methodologies? Because at the end of it, what is it that each of these organizations is looking at? They're looking at organizational success in terms of their financial performance. The only way to get there is to make products or services that are, if not world-class, at least at a foundational level, meeting customer expectations. So these are things that have to be done in terms of the organization being able to get alignment of the employees with the market. Right. And these grassroots kind of methodologies, whether it is TPM or whether it is TQM, so these Lean, Six Sigma, all these methodologies really get a lot of involvement of people where they are focused on the organizational outcomes, which would be better productivity, better quality, lower cost, and more evolved organizations achieving sustainability, achieving their effluent management objectives, reduction of waste. There are a whole lot of things that these organizations really need to leverage these kind of tools. So there is certainly a need for many organizations in the small, medium and micro enterprises to really adopt some of these techniques. So they continue to remain relevant, while at the other end, there are lots of digital and advanced tools that really help to expedite. So there is a place for all these things. But the way technologies are evolving, these digital tools and AI tools will all start getting used more effectively.
Great. Tell me, you know, more and more businesses are getting platformized, and work system is becoming more and more informal, so to speak. So what are the key challenges you are seeing with the changed business context, so to speak, in the backdrop of technology, platformization, informal work system and all that, for sustaining operational excellence, particularly in manufacturing companies?
See, largely if you look at what we call bottlenecks or challenges, really remains around resistance to change, right? There's, like I did allude to, small, medium enterprises, and also there's a certain way that they have been working, right? So to really get the cultural shift within the organization for adopting different methods or more systematic approaches becomes more important. The other aspect which remains a challenge, and I think it is there even in larger enterprises, is, you know, teams tend to work within silos. And that can also impact, or that can also be one of the challenges that organizations need to deal with. So there's one set of people who is handling supply chain, another set of people handling maintenance, another set of people handling operations. Right. So if you have this kind of siloized operations, it can lead to suboptimal outcomes. So the other very important aspect is how to work cross-functional, how to work with teams from different functions to try and achieve the outcomes that the organization is looking for. So I would say these are the two things. One is getting that cultural transformation in the team to be able to use more evolved techniques, whether it is Lean Six Sigma or whether it is total productive maintenance kind of cross-functional or de-siloized operations of how plants are managed.
Right.
Or simply just getting cross-functional teams to become more effective.
Let us take a short break. When we come back from the break,
in the context of India, as I had mentioned, there's a very large employment which is happening in the small, medium, and micro enterprises, right? So creating that very solid foundation is going to be extremely important, right? Because if you're saying you want, if an organization wants to use, let's say, digital tools and artificial intelligence or Internet of Things and all those things, at the end of it, it is still going to be people.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. Let us dive right back into the episode.
So you are clearly seeing, I mean, as actually it is coming out, that the relevance and importance of these operational excellence methodologies is going to stay, so to speak. And the fact is that simultaneously, the technological advancement will also keep happening. So how do you see, you know, both of them sort of, you know, integrating this operational methodology, getting integrated with, you know, the technologies and all that? And instead of creating a sense of conflict, they complement each other.
Yeah, so I think, Sanjay, the way I look at it is that these processes which we had talked about form the kind of backbone of whatever you want to do. Right. And I think we are still decades away from where factories are basically run remotely without manpower, you know, where they're completely autonomous factories. Mm-hmm. We are still decades away from there. There may be one or two examples which may exist today where a lot of robotics and all have come in. But in the context of India, as I had mentioned, there's a very large employment which is happening in the small, medium, and micro enterprises, right? True. So creating that very solid foundation is going to be extremely important, mm-hmm. right? Because if you're saying you want, if an organization wants to use, let's say, digital tools and artificial intelligence or Internet of Things and all those things, at the end of it, it is still going to be people who are going to be managing it. The things like artificial intelligence and all will give a whole lot of decision making ability to the teams. They should know how to use it.
Right.
Mm. Right. So, and that can only happen when they have there's a strong organization culture for these processes to be there within the culture of the organization for them to be able to leverage these kind of things. Mm-hmm. Right. So whether and I talked about some of the challenges, whether it is the silo operation or whether it is what you may call the cultural issues. So if those continue to remain as issues within an organization, you may have a whole lot of information coming from modern techniques and modern technologies like AI, ML and all what is really going to be transformative going forward. But unless people at the ground are really working together, you will find that you're not able to fully leverage the benefits of these modern tools and techniques emanating from AI and ML.
Mm, right.
For example, you may have a lot of forecasting which is coming from an AI ML model.
Right.
But at the end of it, it is still people who need to do the things on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, you may look at, let's say, agriculture.
Right.
And today there is so much satellite imagery and forecasting and the number of organizations which are looking at all this weather data, looking at climate data, you know, looking at it across years and across decades, and they come up with models for forecasting. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, the decision at the ground level as to what needs to be done, what should be the time for planting, what should be the time for application of various kinds of pesticides, that still remains as things that has to be done by people.
Mm, correct.
Right. So we cannot remove people from the equation at all. It is ultimately people who have to work on the data analytics information guidance which is coming from some of these tools.
Right. Great.
See, it's only in very, very evolved organizations which are looking at things like advanced process control, typically within the petrochemical industry and all that, where you know, a lot of autonomous control happens within the manufacturing process, where you get very consistent kind of outcomes, mm-hmm. right? But those are some of the large enterprises which have evolved and really put in a lot of digitalization and technology into their operations.
Right.
But as a country, we are still far from there, as I mentioned, because of the very large base that is still to be able to leverage or to invest in these kind of technologies.
Right. So, tell me that you talked about culture, you talked about people, you also touched upon the leadership aspect. So, you know, though you very clearly mentioned, and I completely agree with you, that people would be at the heart of the things. And in countries like India, we can't sort of, you know, replace people with technology, so to speak. That would be really, really challenging. Though there are many AI experts, companies, they are claiming that they'll be able to sort of, you know, the technology will be able to replace in big way people, so to speak, or the jobs being at present done by people, so to speak. But the fact is that, you know, the world is transitioning. World is moving in different part of worlds. You know, the technology advancement is happening with different speed, so to speak. Okay, different based on their context. So in this changing situation, what is the role of leadership, and what kind of skill or the qualities leaders should have to strike the fine balance? That's my question.
So Sanjay, you know, we'll have to look at, one is the service sector and the manufacturing sector a little differently, right?
Right.
Because a lot of this AI, ML and all potentially can impact largely the service sector. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of these technology companies, I mean, many of the comments coming from their leadership team is that, look, while AI and ML can impact the way employment happens, but they're also saying that there'll be newer things that need to be done by people. And AI and ML can become enablers to be able to do things more effectively, more efficiently. And I believe in the manufacturing area, one of the leadership role is on how fast they are able to really bring in these technologies. Mm-hmm. See, while, you know, it may have some impact on employment, because if a country like India, creating employment is a very important aspect, right, from a country leadership point of view,
yeah,
right? From an organizational leadership point of view, one is, of course, the cost, right? So technologies can help to reduce cost. Mm-hmm. But what it also implies is that the ability of the organization to grow even at a faster pace is certainly going to be critical.
Right.
Right. So the employment of people, employability of people has to be continuously enhanced.
Right.
Right. So the ability of organizations to use technology really has to be leveraged on how it can be used for growing the organization at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if India is looking at achieving a position of being the third largest economy from its current position,
yeah,
growth has to be a significant driver, right? So while we keep looking at percentage growth and all that, but, you know, even with 7%, 8% growth in terms of value, that is being added into the economy.
Right.
Even at 8%, it remains lower than a 3% for some of the other economies.
Yeah.
Right. So it really means that we have to grow at a pace which may be in excess of 10% to be able to really achieve that position of being number three globally. And the way to get there for organizational leaders is really to accelerate, make investments, mm-hmm, in capacity, for which you need to have very strong processes, which we've discussed, that,
yeah,
you must have good foundations. So having a good foundation makes it easier to establish new manufacturing locations. Getting people up to speed very quickly will make it easier, having strong processes and systems.
Mm-hmm.
That helps to improve, increase employment also. So it helps to cut costs, it helps to increase employment, and it accelerates the pace of growth.
Right.
So leadership role really is in terms of how to accelerate growth within the organization.
Right.
And how to really use technology for getting there.
Right. Okay.
And really using its people processes to be able to get there.
Okay. So if you could expand on people processes, because see what happens, as goes my observation, that some of the companies, they give focus on growth rightfully, but then they lose the empathy towards their employees, their skill development and all that. And in many organizations, I have heard that people are, the company is growing, but people are always fearful about their job security and all that. So in that backdrop, I would like to understand from you that how leaders should strike the fine balance between the growth of the organization and same time given the that care to people, their skill development, etc. in this today's context.
See, even if you look at the recent pronouncements in the finance bill, the country is putting a lot of emphasis on skills, skilling, right? And with the government also wanting to facilitate this process of skill building, and also to some extent financially covering some of the costs for skill building, that is a significant incentive for organizations to really take advantage of some of these things. And at a certain level of education, there is continuously going to be a shortage of expertise.
Right.
It is only at the lowest level of education that you have a problem today, that you really need to put those skills in place, right? But if you look at engineers who are coming out of institutes, right? If you ask me today, there is a shortage.
I agree.
Right. So there's a shortage because what is happening is as engineers graduate from the institute, some of them are moving to different lines, totally different lines.
Right.
Some of them are going for higher studies. Right. So the number of engineers who are really becoming available to the industry is going to be a challenge, keeping in mind the growth aspiration of the nation.
Right.
Right. So that is certainly one aspect. And organizations should not be fearful of, people leaving, right? So there's always good to have certain amount of turnover of employees, right? And it also brings a new knowledge into the organization by taking people who worked in other organizations. And it is also good that even if you've trained someone who is very capable, he leaves the organization, but he is taking with him an organizational knowledge or work culture to another organization, which may find a better use. So overall, I think the industrial segment will benefit by migration or rather movement of people from one organization to the other. We should not hesitate to help people become capable. And more enabled. So leadership has to continuously invest in training. And if you look at some of the large IT organizations, this is on the service sector side of it, the number of engineers that they recruit is phenomenal.
Right.
Right. And they also have a fairly high turnover.
Yes.
Right. So they have sort of created an organization which is an earning organization, because youngsters coming out of colleges, right? They don't have the skill sets which are required for the industry.
Yeah.
So they have put in place a mechanism for really enabling youngsters who are coming out of colleges and institutes to be able to work within the organization. So similarly, even in the manufacturing sector, it is good that the government is really focusing on skills and capability building. And as industry leaders, it is important to have very good learning and development processes in place. As I mentioned, people leaving the organization is a given. I mean, people look for career opportunities. Yeah. People look at some of their social obligations, whether it is moving back to their home state or whatever. You know, there are various things that cause people to move, including things like salaries, wages, and other things. So we have to have a learning organization in place so that there is constant focus on capability development, both in terms of skills and soft skills as well. So that leadership focus on the learning and development employee. And that's also one of the aspects of the business excellence model that we started this conversation with.
Yes.
That how are you building capabilities within your teams?
Great. So could you please expand on this learning organization concept?
One, of course, is the learning related with the job that the person is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So whether it is in the service sector related to technology, whether it is coding or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So that is one set of learning. Then on the manufacturing side, the industrial side, it is really the shop floor working, learning about safety, learning about quality, learning about some of those issues that we had discussed about working in teams, right? Looking at data, because that is going to become important as we go forward. From traditional logbooks, people need to learn how to look at data and information that is coming out from some of these machine learning applications, how to interpret them, how to act on them. So these are the kind of things that have to continuously be part of any organizational agenda for capability building of their teams.
Great, great.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
So, I mean, what is very clearly emerging from our conversation that growth will be the aspiration of any organization, I mean, goes without saying, but that people would be at the heart of the things.
Yeah, I believe that this is going to be there. I mean, we are not at that stage of complete autonomous manufacturing,
right,
where things are working with some set of people managing it from the back end.
Right, so we are still
quite far from that. Yeah.
And in countries like India, it will be really, really very sort of, you know, challenging. So as I heard you saying that, you know, the growth should be employment driven, so to speak.
Well, employment driven in the sense that there will be employment which is coming from growth. And for getting the kind of financial outcomes that organizations are looking for in terms of their revenue growth, in terms of their bottom line growth, investments need to be done.
Right.
And for investments to be done effectively, you need people. Once the investments are operational, you need people for being able to come up to speed very quickly to be able to start getting the benefits of the investments that have been made on assets, to get the products and services out so that the revenues and the profits can start coming in,
right,
which becomes a cycle for making further investments.
Correct. So, virtuous cycle.
Yes, yes. So, people are very much part of this equation in my experience.
Great. So, Mr. Lal, it was very, very insightful conversation, very enlightening for me to speak. So, thanks a lot again for your time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sanjay, for this wonderful conversation.
Thank you for listening to my podcast, AI to AI, where we explore the significance of process excellence and people excellence in the age of artificial intelligence. If you like this episode, give us a thumbs up in your favorite podcast app and do subscribe to continue listening to upcoming episodes with industry experts such as Rajiv Dubey, K. Ramkumar and Praveer Jha. Feel free to connect with me through my website at www.sn10x.in and on LinkedIn, where you can find me under the tagline Molding Metal to Molding Minds.